It's the two-point conversion with Bryce and Daniels, brought to you by Footballogy.com, the study of all things football.
Episode 9, the two-point conversion podcast with Bryce and Daniels, and we are live! Don't care, Bryce. It just happened. Can't go back and erase it. We're live, episode 9.
Actually, I'm the one that edits the podcast, so I can't go back and erase it.
What a we got quite a weekend ahead, and one that we can just put in the rearview mirror, because there wasn't much that happened last week. I know we talked about that on Monday. It was kind of a dull week.
It was. The matchups weren't real good. I was going to point out that probably starting with Monday's show, mm-hmm. we're going to start paring down and getting rid. We're not going to talk so much or almost none about these games with like two win teams going at each other. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not going to talk about that. And then as the season progresses, we're going to keep just narrowing it down and narrow it down, and we're going to focus on these teams that are in division races and playoff chases.
Of course. What I was going to say, I was just getting ahead of myself and kind of having a laugh. But we're going to narrow it down. We're going to get to about two or three games, talk about 30 minutes on it. No, not that narrow.
That's
not inducive of a good football podcast.
Not that narrow. But we're gonna spend more time focusing on the teams that are contending for playoff spots.
Absolutely. And into week 6 we go. We're already into week 6.
I can't believe how fast this
season's
gone by.
Ridiculous. A couple of contenders. I believe Dallas is one in the NFC, and I've heard a lot of talk about the Dak Prescott, Tony Romo, and now did you hear what who was it? It was earlier I was reading on the bottom line that someone said that as long as Dak is playing well, then he should petition Tony Romo to not come back.
Okay, whoever that was.
Favre? Was it Favre?
Favre didn't say that. Favre said that Romo should just sit down and just
be
a good teammate, basically, and sit down. And I'm like, wait, Brett Favre? Brett Favre, who held three different franchises hostage year after year with this retire-not-retire talk, is saying somebody else needs to be a good teammate? Get out of here with that nonsense.
Kind of like the pot calling the kettle black in the most extreme of turns.
Yes.
They basically held Aaron Rodgers' career hostage.
He did.
For a good chunk of time. Kendra Watson studio with us this evening as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh, she's full of words as well.
Yeah, she's that's got lots of words,
I mean,
for
you,
us.
You want to talk about a wordsmith. But, yeah, into week 6 we go. We got a couple
Kendra,
of intriguing
do you,
matchups.
Do you want to chime in on the Romo-Prescott debate and what's going on there between them two?
I saw something interesting earlier.
Okay, what'd you see?
Share.
Okay.
On Facebook. Okay, so this was supposedly a quote from Dak Prescott, right?
Uh-huh.
This is from him himself, right? You know how social media goes. It says, "This is Tony's team. I knew that going into the situation, just trying to give my team a chance to win week in and week out."
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, it was Tony's team. I just want to put that out.
That's what I'm saying.
It was.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news for both of you guys, but when Tony Romo gets healthy, he's going to play.
I've been wrong so many times.
I'm telling you right now.
I'm telling you it's not going to happen.
If Dak Prescott goes into Green Bay and beats them by 20, Tony Romo is going to start against Philadelphia in 2 weeks after that. I'm telling you right now. I've really, really keyed in on this team. I have several different sources inside the Cowboys organization. I'm telling you, it's going to be Tony Romo. When he's healthy, it's him. Now, they might delay it a couple of weeks and let him get to 100% instead of saying, oh, you're 95%, you're good. They may say, you know what, we'll let Dak play two more weeks and let you get to 100%. But when that dude's healthy, it's his team. And that's what everything coming out of Valley Ranch that I'm hearing is saying.
I vehemently disagree. But that's why we have the podcast.
That's why we have the podcast.
That's why we have the podcast. It's going to be it's definitely exciting times for Dallas and Cowboys fans. All right, let's break into it. Week 6 in the NFL. It's tonight's game, and Denver and San Diego, not much to get excited about. San Diego's pretty bad. Pretty bad.
Yeah.
1-4. That's what happens with all the injuries. Denver, Trevor Siemian, probably he's probably gonna play.
Yep. Yeah,
looks like he's going to. It didn't work out well with Paxton Lynch, my boy, last week. But Denver is a 3-point favorite in that game. I like Denver to cover on the road. One of the first ones to open with this weekend. There's no London game, I believe. It's all early stuff.
That's good. I don't like the London games.
I hate them. Not only I'll wake up early. I'll wake up early for English Premier League. I'll wake up early for NFL if it's over there. But they're bad games. They're bad games. They're bad matchups. And for some reason, I don't know if it's the jet lag or what it is, they're not entertaining. They're just bad football games.
I think it is the jet lag. I've never seen a good game that happens in London. It's just bad every time. So I don't know what that is. I just want to point out that when you said English Premier League, Kendra looked at you with the most
don't care
disgusted
don't
look.
Care.
I don't think I've ever seen a person look at someone so disgusted.
Oh, it's how I make my money, boys and girls. It's how I make my money. But San Francisco, they're about as good as an English Premier League team in the NFL. They're 1-4. It looks like Kaepernick's going to start.
Yes, Colin Kaepernick.
What do you feel about that? Or how do you feel about that? Because I mean, on one hand, you can't be much worse than
right.
Blaine Gabbert.
I mean, more than anything, that's my
I think that's the
initial opinion is that he's just, I mean, Gabbert's awful, so you throw Cap in and see what he's going to do.
Cross your fingers, throw Cap in and take 9 points on the road against Buffalo and just give Buffalo a win, because that's what's going to happen. Buffalo's a 9-point favorite. The total is 44, and one of my sneaky DraftKings plays involved in this game. Can you guess it? Sneaky, not LeSean McCoy, but sneaky.
Sneaky, Jeremy Curley.
I really like Tyrod Taylor at 5,300. I do.
Have you looked at Tyrod Taylor's stats?
I do, especially
he never throws for 200 yards in a game. He's won several games this season without throwing for 150
yards. He's taken off on the feet, and he's going to have a couple of targets to throw to at home, a 9-point favorite, especially if you stack him and Shady. Get lucky and get two passing touchdowns to LeSean McCoy. I'm not saying that I'm going to target him in all of my GPPs, and especially not my cash games. But on an outlier or if you want to be contrarian.
I'm all in on Shady.
Oh, LeSean McCoy.
On Sean McCoy because with Navarro Bowman out, yeah. San Francisco's run defense is just trash.
Not only that,
garbage.
But when you look at the the usage that LeSean McCoy has had these last couple of weeks, he's getting it done on the ground, he's getting it done out of the backfield. I mean, Buffalo's offense is just completely going through my boy, Shady, LeSean McCoy. 6,900, that's probably a snip for the amount of points he's going to get. I think he's had 20 in the last 3 weeks, I believe. Let me go ahead and fact check that right quick. He's the fourth most expensive running back. 20.8, 22.8, 29.6, and 13.
Yeah.
And he didn't even get in the end zone last week. 18 for 150 against L.A. Really like LeSean McCoy. Probably not my top running back target, but I do like him a lot.
Okay.
Robert Woods, what's the deal with the wideouts, wide receivers for Buffalo?
Because well, we Woods, talked about this a little bit last
week. A
little
week. Bit.
I think we kind of agreed that we like Goodwin more than Woods. I like Goodwin more than Woods almost from a pure scout's perspective. He's bigger. He's got more size, and so he's going to have more route tree that he can run. And, you know, he's one of the guys that he doesn't necessarily have to be open. You can just kind of throw it up, and he can go get it to some degree. I mean, he's not huge, but he's bigger than Robert Woods. Robert Woods is a little guy. And a lot of times those little guys can be real effective, but they have to find the right almost the route running becomes so important, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so like a DeShaun Jackson or a Cole Beasley or Wes Welker, those guys are incredible in the slot. Robert Woods hasn't really shown that ability yet.
He's getting the targets.
He is getting
to
the targets.
I mean, he had six last week against L.A.
A lot
10,
of times Buffalo.
10 against New England.
Yeah, Buffalo doesn't throw a lot.
No,
so
not really. However, like I said, Tyrod Taylor, 5 on the ground for 28. So that's 2.8 right there. He did have, he had 124, but he had two touchdowns in there as well.
He threw for 124 yards.
Yes, he threw for 246 the week before that. I don't love
more
it,
than
but
anything,
5,300.
Yeah, more than anything, I would say with the low yards numbers with Taylor, you might take Taylor because he's going to throw a touchdown or get some running, but I wouldn't take his receivers.
Because if he's only
throwing for 124 yards, so you're talking Robert Woods, and I'm like, I don't know about that.
No, I'm just looking for an outlier, maybe a cheap punt in that offense. But Shady is the guy, and it's quite obvious. Can I offer you any color? I can't even say it with a straight face. The answer is no, folks. If you're thinking about taking Colin Kaepernick in daily fantasy or any fantasy, don't do it. Carlos Hyde, though, 5,100 at running back. He's gotten involved in the offense a little more the last couple of weeks. And then you mentioned Jeremy Curley. He's questionable coming into this game, but 102 against Arizona, 88 against Dallas. He's gotten the end zone the last 2 weeks. What do you think about Jeremy Curley against Buffalo?
I think he's San Francisco's only option.
He really appears to be San Francisco's only offensive I don't want to call him a threat, but option.
Option. I mean, I think he's a good player. I really do. If Gabbert was playing, I would say Kerley's a surefire start if you have him. If you got him on your team, surefire. With Kaepernick, we don't know.
We don't know.
He might be. I mean, he might actually be worse than Gabbert, he might be better than Gabbert, but more of running and going to the tight ends or whatever. Not quite as much going to the to the receivers and Kerley in specific. So. I don't know. That's
from what I remember before they benched him a couple of years ago for Gabbert. Oh, he was atrocious.
Yes.
He was atrocious.
They were
calling for Gabbert, which that will never happen again. But yeah, he was real bad. So I am not optimistic about Colin Kaepernick's chances back in this league as a starting quarterback for San Francisco. And I don't think the odds makers are either. Like I said, Buffalo's a 9-point favorite with a total of 44. I like Buffalo. Do I like them to cover? Probably not. That's a big line.
Even San Francisco's bad, though.
Yeah, they really are. On to another couple of really bad teams, or one really bad team and one slightly poor team, we'll call them. Jacksonville, 1-3 at the 1-4 Chicago Bears. Chicago's a favorite in this, Bryce. 2.5 is the spread. Looks like Cutler's going to miss another one, and it definitely looks like Jeremy Langford's going to miss it. And I think that's probably a blessing in disguise. Langford hadn't been getting it done. You know who has?
Jordan Howard.
Your boy, my boy, Jordan Howard, 6,200. I don't know if I really, really like him a whole lot this week just because that number's starting to creep up. He is getting a couple of pass attempts through the air, but Jacksonville's just – if I was Jacksonville, I would hone in on Jordan Howard and – let the chips fall where they may. I'm not going to let Jordan Howard beat me when Cameron Meredith has been the guy.
Okay. Jacksonville's coming off a bye, and in general, it's not a real good idea to pick offensive players going up against a defense coming off a bye, especially on a team where there's limited offensive output just in general. Mm-hmm. Like, the Bears' offense aren't real good. And Jacksonville's had 2 weeks to look at Jordan Howard.
Yeah,
they're going to stop him and all that. And so I would be a little concerned about that.
$6,200 is the price that you can pick up Jordan Howard at on DraftKings. How about Cameron Meredith? Is that fool's gold? Is he going to continue? Is it chasing points? Talk to me a little bit about this wide receiver, $4,100 on DraftKings. You could spend up and do a lot worse, I'm telling you.
If you play like you play by playing numerous games every week.
Yeah, volume.
I could see sprinkling in a little Meredith here and there. If you're one of those guys that's like, hey, you know, I'm gonna take my $20, I'm gonna do the Millionaire Maker one time, one game. I don't know that I'm gambling on Cameron Meredith.
Yeah.
If you're in a season long league. Then, I mean, yeah, if you you picked him up and he's better, you think he's better than your starters, or other starters are just bad, then yeah, play him. Sure.
Zach Miller's questionable. It just doesn't look – Jeffrey's questionable. He's probably going to play. Zach Miller's questionable. It just doesn't look like Brian Hoyer's going to have that many
options. So it might be all Cameron Meredith?
It very well could.
Okay.
Eddie Royal coming off that injury as well. So a lot of red cues as I'm looking down this Jacksonville-Chicago slate on the opposite side of the football. Can I get you excited about Allen Robinson at all? I think he's a little overpriced at
$7,800. I really like Allen Robinson.
I do too. And so does Blake Bortles.
And so does Blake Bortles. They haven't they haven't been bad together this year, but they haven't been really prolific. It seems like Allen Hurns has been just about as good as Allen Robinson in terms of numbers. I mean, I may be wrong. It may just be my perception of it.
I thought so as well, and that's not the case. I mean, Allen Hurns is averaging about 10, 12, 7, 8, 11, 4, and 11, 5. Again, this is full-point PPR. Allen Robinson, 16, 5, 24, 7, 8, 4, and 13, 2. So he's got it going
He's had a couple of big games.
Yeah. Bigger. I don't think I can justify $7,800 for
24
Robinson.
Points. It's rough.
That's not enough, especially when that's right under Jordy Nelson, and I'm not real sure actually. I would like to like Jordy Nelson this week against Dallas, but that's a game that we'll get to coming up. No T.J. Yeldon, no Chris Ivory for me. Maybe I could see sprinkle in if you're playing volume some Blake Bortles. He's gonna have 30 pass attempts. Probably going to have 2 touchdowns. Is he going to throw for 300? Doubtful, but you give me 23, 24 points at only 6,300.
Yeah.
I'm all right with it. And Chicago is not that good. They're just not. Even though they're at home, they're a 2.5 favorite, And the total on that is 46. Flip a coin.
Right.
Really.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't come up with anything else. All right, what have we graduated them to? The junior varsity, the middle, what are they?
I mean, they lost again.
They lost, so they're back to the middle school.
Right.
They're 3-2, though.
Yeah.
I'll give them sophomore team. They're the sophomore team, Los Angeles
High
Rams.
School sophomore
high
team.
High school sophomore team.
Okay.
Is that a thing?
It is a thing.
It is a thing. Oh. In my high school, we actually had a sophomore, like our colors were purple and gold.
So
we had a purple
had a
team and a gold
team.
Yeah. We had two sophomore teams.
Where I grew up, they were like trying to recruit girls. Like, we didn't have a team, like a varsity team. Oh. We were lucky to have a JV team, like the cheerleaders.
We had a
sometimes.
Whole lot of not very talented players playing football in high school.
You get a purple jersey.
So can we call them the sophomore B team? No. The sophomore Los Angeles Rams. I'm going to need so many haters from California. They're 3-2. What do you want from me? Detroit.
I mean, you are what your record says you are.
Yeah, no, except in the case of the Rams. Detroit's 2-3. They're a three-point favorite at home, so the odds makers are on my side.
Yeah.
44 is that total. Eric Ebron is going to be out. Dwayne Washington is questionable, and Theo Riddick's questionable. Justin Forsett, you can't get him on DraftKings. You can't yet. He's not available.
He's
I'm
not
very
available.
Disappointed because Justin Forsett's going to run for probably about 80 to 90 yards this week.
You think so?
I do. I really do. It's not the easiest matchup against Los Angeles, but you're telling me that Forsett's not better than Washington and Riddick on the ground? I'm not buying it for a second.
I would say that he probably is, but the Rams' run defense has been pretty stout.
Yeah, it's been pretty stout.
I mean, that defensive line and, you know, they've had, I call him the disease, but James Laurinaitis at middle linebacker for a long time, and now they got Alec Ogletree in there.
Sounds like a disease.
Yeah, that's why I call him that.
Oh, I'm well aware.
Yeah. But they got Alec Ogletree in there, and it's unreal how much of an upgrade that is because Laurinaitis is a good middle linebacker, and Alec Ogletree is significantly better. So I don't know that I would give Justin Forsett that much. I would say more like 40 to 60 yards and maybe a goal line touchdown if you're lucky. I think Detroit wins that game pretty easily.
Look, boss, I can't. Look, I'm sorry. I can't come in today. I got a case of the Laurinaitis.
Yes.
You could try it.
Yeah.
You really could.
Your boss wouldn't have a clue.
I'm going to try it tomorrow.
Matt Stafford, 6,200. I can't get behind that just because I don't know who he's going to throw to, if anybody. Marvin Jones Jr. is really struggling. Or was this week.
He had a bad week.
Well, he had a couple of bad weeks. He got in the end zone, but he's only had 5 targets last week, 7 targets against Chicago. His targets are going down.
They are.
And his output's going down as well.
I know it's your favorite thing in the whole world, but that part of that is because they are making a very concerted effort to get Golden Tate football. That's what they've been doing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, have fun with that.
Yeah.
That's a terrible name.
Golden Tate. Golden Tate? Yeah.
Like a tater tot?
Yeah.
Tate.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, continue. You think that's what happened? His parents were like, what's his name going to be? And then they're like, they're eating tater tots right then.
Right, because
and
you
golden
can't
grams.
Eat while you're having the baby.
Yeah.
Golden grams.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a mix. No Anquan Bolden for me either.
Never mind. Sorry I brought it up. Continue.
That was a complete non sequitur. Move on. That was awful.
I don't care.
I was thinking tater tots. Dang.
Tavon Austin, 3,900. And this is a spot that I wrote down. Okay, if you're looking to spend down, you're going to think I'm absolutely out of my mind. And I might be. I really might be. But I'm always looking to find a contrarian way to attack this slate. And I think Case Keenum is one of the most sneaky quarterback plays this week. They're playing the 30th-ranked passing defense in the NFL. Tell me, Bryce, why? Why can't Case Keenum throw for 203 touchdowns? 250.
Okay, I give you 200, 250, 3 touchdowns? It's hard to throw for 3 touchdowns in the NFL.
That's
very, very wishful.
He had 2 against Arizona. He had 2 against Tampa.
Yeah, and he also scored 9 against Seattle.
Well, that's Seattle.
I'm just saying. Before that, they didn't score a touchdown. I would be very nervous about expecting much out of Case Keenum. I mean, you could hit a home run there. It could happen.
Here's my thought process. If you hit a home run there, you're going to be the only one that hits a home run.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
So if you want to stack him with Tavon Austin, I'm okay with it because you can literally get whoever else you want.
I mean, because you're spinning way down. And Austin's been relatively productive.
Yeah, he really has. And he's yet to get in the end zone as well. 7 catches on 10 targets. 59 yards, and then 3 rushes for 26. That's 15.5 right there for a 3,900 wide receiver. Throwing a touchdown. I do like Detroit to win this football game, though. Moving on. In my opinion, one of, if not, probably the... Okay, they're not the best, but they're probably the second-best team in the AFC. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers. 4-1 Steelers on the road at a 1-4 Miami Dolphins team.
Woo!
Pittsburgh
is ugly.
It is going to be ugly. It's going to be real ugly. 7.5 favorite the Steelers are. That total is 47.5. That's a big total for a team who cannot score points.
Pittsburgh might score all of them.
That's what I was thinking. And that's why I wrote down in my notes, quarterback Roethlisberger, 7,500. Running back Bell, 7,900. Wide receiver Brown, first player to go over 10K. Antonio Brown, 10,000.
Wow.
10,000 this weekend. And Sammy Coates, he's questionable, 4,700. Jesse James, 3,000. Can you stack this whole game?
I mean, I guess. You're gambling big time. I mean, I guess that's what it is in general. But yeah, I mean, that's... Woo. And plus, you know, there's only one football. Like, he doesn't get to hand it off to Le'Veon Bell and then turn and throw a different one to Antonio Brown every play. So,
no.
Be a little bit on that.
If I'm attacking this game, it's probably going to be Le'Veon Bell. Arian Foster questionable for Miami.
I thought Sammy Coates was kind of impressive.
Sammy Coates was very impressive, but he's questionable this week back from that very impressive performance. And if you were on him, I had a little bit of him.
So he had an injury last week, is that what you're saying?
4,700. His finger, he has a lacerated finger, and he played with that last weekend. He's probably going to play.
If he had it last weekend and he played, it was impressive.
He's missing practice.
It's a hand laceration.
He's a receiver. I mean.
Yeah, he's a receiver.
So catching the ball probably hurts a little bit.
You have 9 others. It hurts that bad that you have to sit out.
He didn't sit out.
Well, he's saying he's questionable if he's playing.
Well, it's the injury report roulette.
That's just...
Come on.
But Eli Rogers practiced fully. That's going to take some of the workload away from Sammy Coates.
I was really, really impressed with Coates last week, just at the totality of what he did. I went back and watched a little bit of film.
He dropped
some passes.
Couple passes. But
lacerated hand might cause that a little bit.
That's what I was wondering.
So I want to see him in a little while down the road, 3 or 4 weeks, when his hand is fully healed. And if he's catching every pass, I'm thinking this guy might be somebody that's going to allow Pittsburgh to have options on how they handle the Antonio Brown contract situation that's looming.
Oh, you re-sign him. There's a reason guy's 10,000 on DraftKings.
I thought you re-sign Emmanuel Sanders, done. Like, no questions asked. He was best receiver on that team. They're like, no, we're just going to move this Antonio Brown guy into the number one slot. So,
yep.
I don't know. Sammy Coates, to me, from what I saw early, just gave me that little feeling, like, yeah, this guy might be something a little special. So,
absolutely zero interest on any Miami Dolphins players. None. I want no part of Landry, no part of Devontae Parker. I think Tannehill might be pulled before the end of this game. And Pittsburgh wins. Handily. I mean, they roll. 7.5, that might be my play of the week. 2-3, the Bengals trying to rebound off that. It was an embarrassing loss. It was a very disheartening loss for Bengals Nation. I got a couple of Cincinnati fans in my circle of friends. It gets no easier for the Bengals.
No, they got a rough stretch coming.
I mean, they're traveling to Foxborough, taking on the best team in the league, 4-1, New England Patriots. Pats are an 8.5-point favorite. That total's 47. Tyler Eifert still out for Cincinnati. That just limits Andy Dalton even more. LeGarrette Blount is questionable. I think he probably plays.
But you might get a little more James White this week. So you might
and that's kind of what I was thinking as well.
Air towards that a little bit.
Is it going to be the double bear approach again? Are you looking at a large amount of the polar bear and Martellus Bennett?
I mean, I think that you're going to see that this season, no question.
That's going to be a thing.
He's been doing that a long time. You got to remember that when Gronk started out, it was the murderer Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah.
You know, and it was the two of them that were doing all the damage.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't have another, you know, partner in crime. That's an awful pun.
That's a terrible pun. Terrible pun.
involved there, so... Now you bring in Martellus Bennett, and he's just stealing yardage everywhere. So
he's stealing touchdowns.
Better steal
is what he's
than kill. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sorry.
I steal. I don't kill.
I don't kill.
I had to go there.
Oh,
he's murdering defenses.
He's murdering. Just slashing
You're
them
You're so up. Wrong.
Chris Hogan, he's not injured as I thought he was going to be.
Okay.
4,600, are you interested in him at all?
Oh,
do
yeah.
you think that, really?
For some reason, and I don't know why, because I haven't watched Patriots film, I think next week is going to be the week that I focus on the Patriots. But for some reason, it seems like Hogan is getting Amendola's
yeah,
stuff.
That's exactly what I said.
And I don't know why, because Amendola's there. He's healthy. Like, I don't know what the reasoning for that is. Maybe they're doubling Amendola or whatever. But Hogan seems to be getting that stuff right now. And if he's healthy, I think he's a good start.
I think Hogan is an extreme amount faster. I was looking for a word. I didn't come up with it. Extraordinarily faster than Amendola. I think Hogan is just better than in every category, really, than Amendola. Two targets for Danny Amendola.
Did I say Amendola?
Julian Edelman? Is that what you're talking
about? Oh, my God. I did say Amendola.
You did say Amendola.
Edelman.
Edelman had 10 targets. I agree with you as far as Amendola. I don't think Edelman's starting to get phased out of that offense yet, but... And again, defenses know that when Brady's on the field, you have to shade over. You're going to
yeah,
have to
you
deal
have to
with
cover
Julian Edelman.
Edelman, yeah. That's what I'm saying, is it may be because of coverage, but it seemed like he was getting some of the – I'm not saying he got all of his targets. Mm-hmm. I'm saying some of his routes.
Yeah.
Some of the things that they designed for Edelman, not Amendola, is going to Hogan right now, is what I was seeing with what little I watched.
Edelman's questionable, by the way. He's limited this week at practice with a foot.
That just raises Hogan for me even more.
I agree. Hogan, if you missed that game last week against Cleveland, it was the Browns. Granted, however, 4 out of 5, 4 catches, 5 targets, 114 and a touchdown.
Yep.
Or no touchdowns. No touchdowns. He didn't even get into the end zone.
No, because Martellus Bennett scored all the touchdowns.
Yeah. All the touchdowns.
He was murdering that defense out there.
All the touchdowns. James White, 4,100. That's one that I'm really...
I would be interested in James White there, especially if we get a little further into the week here and Blunt is questionable or looking worse, not practicing, that sort of thing.
Yeah, White, 4 catches on 6 targets for 63 yards. They really like to use him as a poor man's Le'Veon Bell.
Yes.
Out of that backfield as well. Anybody on Cincinnati that you're interested in, can I get you on? I just can't pay $8,600 for A.J. Green against New England. I'm just not going to do it.
No.
How about some Revenge City? Brandon LaFell coming back to Foxborough.
No.
No. He had 11 targets against Dallas.
I will say that if you're in a dynasty league and you're looking down the road, Tyler Boyd's not a bad pickup.
I like Boyd.
I watched some of the Bengals film, obviously, because I was watching the Cowboys. And Tyler Boyd was open sometimes, and Andy Dalton was, you know, being flushed out of the pocket, and didn't always give him the ball. But Boyd played pretty well, and I think in the future he could pay dividends.
New England rolls.
I mean, if Dallas rolled, New England should roll right. I mean,
you would think
they should just not play and just New England wins.
They should not play. Cincinnati 2-4, New England up to 5-1.
That's one of those games. Watch Cincinnati go in there and win and make everybody just turn their head like, what?
That's what the league does.
Yeah, I know.
Better than in almost any other sport, really is. 1-4. Could you imagine before the season started that I would be saying 1-4, Carolina Panthers. Defending NFC champs. They are 2.5 favorites against New Orleans, though. I think their season's over.
Yeah, it's the curse of the Super Bowl loser. That if you go back and look, the Super Bowl loser, they have a hard time even making the playoffs the next year a lot of times.
And even though, we have 2 1-4s make the playoffs last year, I think Carolina's season's over. They're 2.5 favorites against New Orleans. If they lose this week, they very much are done. New Orleans has to win this to keep their season alive, you would think. Biggest total on the slate, 53. There's going to be a lot of points scored in this one, according to Vegas, and it looks like Cam Newton's going to be back.
Yeah, Cam Newton's going to play. He should be back. Is Willie Snead back?
As far as I know, Snead is he's not on the injury report.
Okay, so Snead's back. That's good. I would have to give this game to New Orleans, although neither one of those football teams are really very good. It's a division game, so you never know. It's kind of a toss-up, but, I mean, I would go New Orleans. You might get you a little Willie Snead action.
Yeah.
Maybe. Kelvin Benjamin started out hot and kind of has been mediocre since then. Maybe Cam Newton comes back, helps that. I don't know. I don't know that there's anybody playing in that game that I'm really...
Greg Olsen.
Yeah, I mean, Olsen's he's kind of an always. Anytime you have some extra money, you just toss it on Olsen and move on, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. 7,000 if you're paying up for tight end and you're not spending on Gronk. The thing with Gronk is, and we didn't talk about this, he was vitally underowned. I mean, 6% owned last week. So I don't know if the DFS Fantasy Football Nation forgot that he's a thing, but he definitely
is. They were waiting to see. You know, he hadn't done anything.
No.
He'd been injured and stuff, and so Brady comes back, and you're like, okay, let's see what he's got. And he looked like a polar bear that can catch footballs, and so that's good, but the problem is, you know, Bennett's getting all the touchdowns. Yep. So
he looked great.
Carolina's got one as well.
He looked great.
He looked great?
He did. Okay. I watched.
Carolina's got one of those as well. Greg Olsen, 7,000. But Cam Newton is the most expensive quarterback this week, and his price went up.
What?
I'm shocked. I can't. He's 8,100.
New Orleans defense, I guess?
It has to be. Cam Newton's 8,100. Drew Brees is 7,900. And I'm just scratching my head.
That doesn't make any sense, man.
It doesn't make any sense to me. Nobody's going to be on him.
Spend some money on Dak Prescott and don't worry about these two.
Dak Prescott.
Yeah, I'm just
against Green Bay.
I have this weird feeling. I just have this weird feeling that Dak's just going to go crazy. I don't know why. Just one of those like 380 yards and four touchdowns, kind of like crazy.
I hope he does.
It'd be awesome to see.
That's
but
a sexy line, 380 and four.
Oof. Yeah.
I might have a little Dak exposure. Carolina, New Orleans.
Who you got?
Flip a coin.
No, none of that sitting on the fence crap. Pick a team.
Give me the dog, Carolina. New Orleans hadn't done anything.
All right, there we go.
3-2, Baltimore. The Ravens heading to Giant territory to take on the 2-3 New York Giants. Giants are a 3-point favorite in this game, and Baltimore is going to be without Steve Smith once again.
Oh, that offense looked bad without Steve Smith.
That's exactly what I was writing up in my notes because without Steve Smith, Flacco just could not throw the football. He couldn't throw it to anybody. Couldn't throw it to Mike Wallace. Couldn't throw it to Des Pitta. He found Crockett Gilmore, I think, once.
Yep.
They've got a running back that doesn't like to catch passes. If I've ever been off of Joe Flacco, this is definitely the week to do it because he's got no targets. He's got no weapons in that offense as far as I'm concerned. And the Giants don't look good. I'm not going to convince you that they do because they don't. They're struggling mightily. However, how is Baltimore going to move football?
I don't know. I would take Giants all day in that game. All day.
Giants are a 3-point favorite. Odell trying to get back on the. I mean, he
was a little better last week. I was more impressed with his attitude last week than his play so much. He finally the thing with him hugging the net. Did you see that?
I hate that. Not that, but just the he knows the cameras are watching. He wants to get. I didn't like that at all.
Oh, I thought it was a funny moment for him to be like, we had a fight. I punched him. He punched me. Now we're hugging it out. I don't know. I just found it funny. Yeah, I liked his attitude, though, last week. He came back in. You could tell he was trying to have more fun. You could tell the opposing team was trying to rile up Green Bay. They were trying to get him riled up, and he was just like he would laugh it off instead of getting mad. So that's good for him. See if he can return to a little more production on the field.
Total on the game's 44.5.
No way.
And that just
– no way.
No way it gets there?
I don't
see it either.
It's two bad offenses. Yeah.
I don't see it either. But I don't want anybody fantasy-wise on this game. I mean, we're talking no Odell, no Sterling Shepard, no Cruz, no West, Pitta, Wallace, nothing.
Okay. You're out on all of them.
I'm out on every single one. I don't want their defenses either.
Yeah.
Maybe Baltimore if you have to pay down.
Yeah.
Eli Manning likes to throw picks. That's a thing.
That is a thing. Victor Cruz and Sterling Shepard both have a little bit of value for me, depending on their price on Daily Fantasy. You might look at them a little bit.
Shepard's a little overpriced, but Victor Cruz, 4,200.
He's one of those guys that he could just catch 3 touchdowns one week, and you're like, oh, there he goes. So
very true. Your favorite football team.
Cowboys?
If the Rams are the sophomore team, what are the Browns? Pee-wee? Are they flag football?
Yeah, they're flag.
They're flag.
They're flag. Like the 5-year-olds playing flag. That's
aww.
That's it's cute when they
that
do it. It's so
cute.
Much fun.
0-5, Cleveland Browns, taking on another bad football team in my estimation. But Tennessee is favored by 7.5. Tennessee is 2-3, folks.
Tennessee's
they're playing
winning that game.
Yeah, they are.
Tennessee's winning that game. Cleveland's bad. Is Kessler back?
Kessler's questionable. Josh McCown is still out at the moment, but they're saying they're working him back.
I heard that he was walking out on the practice field today and hurt his other shoulder. He slipped and fell and hurt his other shoulder.
Is that?
Yeah, he's probably out.
I missed that Twitter update. Tennessee, all the DeMarco Murray.
Kendra's looking at me like, what the hell are you talking about?
That really happened?
Oh,
no.
She's blonde.
Never mind.
She is.
Did you know if you say orange over and over and over again, it starts to sound like gullible?
She thought about it for a second.
You almost had me.
Once again, that hair color, it'll get you. DeMarco Murray, 7,700. All the DeMarco Murray.
Yeah.
And he didn't. He didn't get into the end zone last week, and he still scored pretty well. Yeah, he put up, I believe, 21.7. That's without a touchdown.
Yep.
7,700. He's the second most expensive running back, only to Le'Veon Bell, but I'm going to have probably a lot of shares of DeMarco Murray this week. And I've got another quarterback flyer, because the Browns are really bad, folks. Marcus Mariota.
Marcus Mariota, yeah. He's probably not a bad option.
Oh, God.
Only 163. He had 3 touchdowns last week, but 60 yards rushing in that touchdown, and that'll put you up at 30.52.
Yeah.
That's what he scored last week. Cleveland, no. No,
nothing.
Just say no.
Nothing from Cleveland.
Nothing.
No
Terrell Pryor.
No. Crowell.
No.
He's been pretty productive regardless of what the quarterback's been doing.
He must have fallen asleep last week.
Now, he played New England.
He did play the New England.
I'm not, okay.
22 yards on the ground.
Yeah, that's, they were playing New England. That's different.
I want no part of Cleveland. No Barnage, no Hawkins, no Pryor. And Pryor, I kind of took a look at. But Mariota, 6,100, perfectly fine with that. DeMarco Murray, going to be in a lot of my lineups. And Delanie Walker, is he getting back? 5,500. I think I'd probably rather spend up.
Didn't he have a big touchdown last week?
He 5 for 8, 66 in a touchdown last week.
I want to say the touchdown was an impressive one. It's not.
Yeah.
I can't remember right offhand which one it was, but I've always liked him. He's a little inconsistent, but I've always liked him.
Yeah.
It might just be that Tennessee's quarterbacks have been inconsistent since like 2000.
Yeah.
So
that's very true. Tennessee. I don't know if they cover. It doesn't matter if they cover. They win this football game. And Cleveland digs themselves into an 0-6 hole.
Yeah.
Philadelphia -2.5 coming off that loss. They are not immortal. The Eagles at 3-2. Washington. Washington might be the guys. Might be who Dallas is
competing with.
Duking it out with up top.
Well, I mean, or Philly.
Or Philly.
I mean, they're both... That loss last week to Detroit was kind of strange. I don't really know what that was. Maybe they get it going back together this week. Maybe that getting that first interception out of the way. Doug Peterson even said it was becoming such a thing. He was like almost rooting for him to throw an interception. So, you know, maybe that happens.
Philly's a 2.5 favorite on the road at Washington. Jordan Reed into the concussion protocol. For the Redskins, so that's going to be one to keep an eye on.
It never ends with that guy, man.
I mean, it never ends. Never ends with that guy. If he can't go, they're talking about Vernon Davis or Niles Paul. Paul's a guy that I played a couple of times last year. He gets it done when Jordan's not on the field. DeSean Jackson, I was reading a report earlier this week that he has been pretty vocal about the fact that he wants the football more.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I don't know if Cousins is going to be able to provide that, but it wouldn't surprise me if DeSean Jackson got involved a little bit more in this one. But again, you're taking on a defense that's proven themselves for the most part.
Yeah, they have. They have.
Ryan Matthews resurgence from him as well, 4,900, and he's getting more and more usage in that Philadelphia offense. Yes, Kendra.
Can I speak?
You can.
Are you sure?
Possibly.
I don't know. I just got to butt in for a second. I feel like we get a good Kirk Cousins this weekend. Washington gets a huge win at home and throws a monkey wrench in the NFC East race.
Okay, so she's predicting a Washington upset there.
A little bit.
Little good Kirk Cousins?
Good Kirk Cousins. I think that's more of a surprise than a Washington upset. She says, I think we get a good Kirk Cousins this week.
We'll see.
There you go. Hot sports opinion right there.
There you go. Something to keep an eye on. If Cousins has a good game, DeSean Jackson probably will as well.
Yeah. And then we have to come in here and be like,
well, yeah,
Kendra, you called it.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know.
In your face.
Oh, man. She's going to throw it in her face.
And yeah, just like that.
There you go.
Pierre Garçon kind of getting involved in that offense as well.
A little bit last week.
Yeah.
I'm not.
No.
Not on Garçon anymore. He doesn't quite have what he had just, you know, as recently as last year, and then especially not what he had 2 years ago.
Yeah, and you throw in Jameson Crowder into that attack.
I think Crowder's going to get a lot of of Garcon's patterns and targets usage.
Definitely could be. It's probably going to be one of the games of the week, though. It's an important game, and there's not
a big
lot
game.
Of those this week.
It's a big game.
3-1 versus 3-2 for the top of the NFC East, so that'll be one to keep an eye on. 2-2, Kansas City. They look to get Jamal Charles, Jamal. He says he's 110%.
Okay.
Does that matter?
Who are they playing?
They're playing Oakland. The 4-1 Raiders.
The Raiders.
The Raiders.
Man, I mean, Oakland's defense hasn't been that good this year. They've been okay. They were really
they've
bad.
They've given up points. It's a 47 total.
Yeah, they, I mean, they were bad the first couple of weeks, and they've kind of shorn it up a little bit. But I mean, also you're watching Carr having to throw a lot of touchdowns late to rally and win. So yeah, I would if he's good to go, start him.
Do you believe him though? He didn't do. I mean, he played last week. He played last
week.
He
did play.
He took two. He had two carries for 7 yards. So in true Jamal Charles fashion, no. Oakland's a 24th against the run.
I'm going to say that I believe he's at like 93.6%, okay. Not 110.
So he's not there yet. 5,100 is cheap.
He's a little in there. He's looking at me like I'm crazy.
Are they going to limit his workload, though? Coming back from injury, you would imagine Spencer Ware still gets...
You know, from a coaches, a lot of times they'll limit you if you're 93.5% or lower. But if you get above that, they give you the full workload.
That 93.6 threshold. Yeah. So yeah, looks like expect Charles to have probably the bulk of the carries in that. Oakland, lot of offensive weapons in this one. Latavius Murray still doubtful with that toe. Derek Carr, 6,500. Really like that price. Like him. It's just tough to figure out which one he's going to throw to. If it's going to be Amari,
or is it going to
be Crabtree?
And you don't know. Last week, either one of them were a good start.
Well, the only reason Crabtree was a good start is because he had that touchdown. He found that.
Well, that you can't say that he had the touchdown.
Yeah, on 4th and 8 or 4th and
it
whatever.
Doesn't matter.
It was.
He had the touchdown.
3 for 7 for 47 yards. I know this because he was in all of my lineups. Only 13.7 for 6,900.
I told you.
Yeah. Well, Cooper was definitely the guy last week. Six,
but
catches, 12 targets
touchdown.
For 138. Yeah, it was like an 80-yard touchdown, 70 something like that.
I want to say 60, but whatever.
30.8. One of those guys is going to have a big game. Let's just put it at that. If you're looking for a punt in the running back category,
Jalen Richard,
yeah. 3,800.
Yeah. You can get a little something from him.
I'm all right with that, especially six catches on 7 targets for 66 yards. He didn't get into the end zone, but he did score 15.7. That's real cheap at 3,800.
Yeah, it is.
Oakland beat Kansas City?
Probably.
Yeah.
I don't know. Kansas
City's a 1.5-point favorite.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, that's a true coin flip.
You know, this is one of those games that's kind of the gut check moment for Derek Carr and the Raiders.
Can you imagine if they go to 5-1?
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's one thing to kind of sneak up and be like, oh, all of a sudden everybody looks at them and goes, oh, crap, the Raiders are 4-1. Like, how did we miss that or whatever? But now everybody knows. They're leading the division, they're 4-1, et cetera, et cetera. So now when all the pressure's on and you're playing against a team that's pretty good, they're favored, can you go in there and get that win? I think if they do, it's really, really big for them.
I've got Oakland, but it's going to be a close one. Definitely going to be a close one. I'm not sure if this is going to be or not, but this is by far the game of the week. 4-1, Cowboys, Dallas, off to a huge flying start under Dak Prescott, and for good reason. It is his team, make no mistake. Ezekiel Elliott as the, executive producer as well.
Executive producer.
Green Bay, they impressed me one game. One game.
Yeah, I mean, they've been kind of up and down. It's been a little strange for Green Bay this year, and Dallas started out a little low and then just exploded onto the scene, and they've just gotten better and better and better every week. So
Green Bay's a 3.5-point favorite. That total is 47.5, so Vegas definitely sees points being scored. A couple of names on the injury report for Green Bay, of course, on the opposite side, Dallas, Dez. Mike might get Dez back this week.
Dez was practicing yesterday. Individual drills, so he didn't do team.
And that's smart. You don't want to rush him back. You don't want to bring him back into the first, especially a guy like that who knows the offense, knows the routes.
No, that's not the Dez thing. With Dez, he has to practice to play. He doesn't.
So you would rather have him in full contact?
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, there are players like, you know, on that offense, Romo or Witten, one of those guys, and Terrence Williams is another guy, probably even Zeke, who could not practice all week long, mm-hmm. but they actually know the offense. Dez Bryant, he has to practice in order to be able to play. He doesn't know the offense inside and out. I think they knew that going in when they drafted him, that wasn't going to be. This is a guy who showed up to his workout for his NFL audition and forgot his cleats.
That's not good.
You have to remember that. I'm not trying to disparage the guy. I love Dez Bryant, but he doesn't. He has to practice to play. He needs to get in some teamwork. I did not get a report today on whether he was in teamwork today or if he went through the walkthroughs and all that as far as team. But if he didn't, I don't. I mean, they might let him play. I almost feel like you have to let him play for the revenge factor.
Yeah.
You have to tell me how this happens. I'm going to say something, and I want an actual answer from you how the hell this happens.
Okay, what is this,
the referee this week? The referee this weekend is the guy who overturned the Dez Bryant catch in the 2014 playoffs.
Oh, man.
Explain that to me. How does the NFL go to Jacksonville? Like you're in Jacksonville this weekend. Whoever we were sending to Jacksonville, you send them to Green Bay. No, sir. Like, how does the NFL not do that?
Oh, good old Roger. Want some drama? You want some drama?
I cannot believe that. I read that and was just like, God.
That's sick. That is.
I have one more crazy thing that we'll get to here in a little later on.
On the opposite side, Randall Cobb, he's got that neck after being hit late at the end of that Giants game. Eddie Lacy's questionable, but it looks like he's going to play. And James Starks looks like he's on the doubtful side of questionable. So a lot of targets, a lot of ways to attack this game. First and foremost, I know if you're a Cowboys fan, you love one guy. And I understand that wholeheartedly, and there's a reason that he's the third most expensive running back on the board. However, Green Bay has not allowed more than, is it 50? It's 50. 50 rushing yards. That's going to stop. That's going to change this week, I promise you. However, it's going to be very difficult for
Green Bay. Green
week.
Bay has played the 27th, 28th, 30th, and 32nd rushing offenses this year.
That's true. As the stats lie.
So
Minnesota, they had
now
Peterson,
you always,
they shut him down.
They did shut him down. He was injured most of that game. That's the game he got injured, mm-hmm. and he was injured most of the game. That's one of those things like when somebody says, well, they, you know, especially early in a season like this, well, they've only played people with losing records. Well, yeah, they helped give them the losing records. And so with Green Bay, yeah, they've played teams that had bad rushing offenses or bad total stats, but they contributed to that. Green Bay caused them to have that to some degree. It's going to be really interesting. Green Bay has a defensive tackle named Mike Daniels. If you don't know who this guy is, you need to learn who he's one of those unsung guys. He's not talked about just a whole lot. He's incredible. The battle between him and the interior a combo of Leary, Frederick, and Zach Martin this weekend is going to be really, really interesting. Last week, I don't know if you know this, Geno Atkins, one of the best defensive tackles in the NFL, no stats.
Zero stats.
No tackles, no pressures, no hits, no nothing. He was completely off the stat sheet. Zach Martin and Ron Leary basically erased him.
Yeah, erased him.
Will they be able to do that to Mike Daniels and Nick Perry and Clay Matthews and that group that's, you know, Julius Peppers? That group that's running the Green Bay defense right now, that matchup's going to be a lot of fun to watch this week.
So if I put you on the spot, 100 yards is the over-under. Does Zeke go over or under 100?
I think that he will not be able to break off the run, the 12 and 16 and 18-yard runs that he's been regularly breaking off. It'll be more like 2 and 3 here and there. Mm-hmm. But I think he'll get over 100 because one time he'll get to the second level and put a move on somebody and get a long run. But it'll just be the one long
just
run
the one.
Is the reason why he breaks the 100. Otherwise, it'd have been a bunch of 2 to 4-yard runs probably.
That's definitely, if not the, probably the second most intriguing storyline for me to watch in that game is Zeke versus that Packers front four. The other ones are going to be in the passing game because, again, you mentioned Dak Prescott. You feel like this could be a
I don't know why. I just have this feeling that just out of nowhere, here comes Dak. He's going to Green Bay. Everybody's like, you know, this is the game to find out is Romo going to take over the team back over or not. You know, that
mm-hmm.
all that question. And Dak goes in there and goes completely nuts and just takes this quote-unquote quarterback controversy and just propels it. You know, and it just goes – just imagine.
At what point does propels just – what? At what point is there no more controversy? What does Dak have to do? This is not Tony Romo's team. It's not.
Well, the coaching staff disagrees with you, man. I don't know what to tell you. Right now it is Tony Romo's team. Dak has been – he's been really impressive. He's not as good of a quarterback as Tony Romo is. He's not. I watched the film. I'm telling you, he's not. He misses a lot of stuff. He could have thrown 10 touchdowns this year at least already, but he's missing them. He's not hitting everything. They're being very creative offensively in order to get what they're getting with him.
They are. The play calling has been...
It's been incredibly creative what they're doing. So, I don't know. I just have a feeling he goes crazy, and that's the weekend. Because he's been a really good game manager at this point.
Yes.
But he hasn't been pushing the ball down the field, throwing a lot of touchdowns and all that. He goes into Green Bay, does that, and all of a sudden this quarterback controversy just explodes. Just imagine what Monday will be like if Dak throws three or more touchdowns and wins on Sunday.
Look, it's not unprecedented. Stafford threw for 368. Sam Bradford threw for 254.
Yeah, I'm not saying
and Bortles threw for 300.
Right. No, their defense isn't that good. It's pretty good, but it's not like lockdown. It's not Minnesota's defense.
They've got some holes in the passing game, and I'm going to be looking to exploit them. I really like Cole Beasley this week.
I think Cole Beasley goes nuts if Dez plays.
Yeah, I could see that as well. And if Dez doesn't play, maybe I'll slide over to Terrence Williams at 3,800. This is a guy who's been getting targets. He's been getting work without Dez. And Dez makes a big difference in this.
Yes.
A very big difference.
I'll tell you what, with Terrence Williams, he's been getting open against one-on-one coverage consistently for the first time in his entire career. I mean, I've basically watched every route this guy's ever run in his pro career because I watch every Cowboys game at least four times. And he was not beating single coverage early in his career. And this year, the route running has gotten to that point. He's winning a lot. You start seeing them having to shade over to Dez and put an eighth guy in the box for Zeke and stuff. Terrence Williams could go off one of these games, just have one of those three touchdown kind of crazy ones, yeah.
Yeah, and we talked about that briefly. Cole Beasley just popped his touchdown cherry last week against Cincinnati. Four catches for 53 yards and a touchdown. You like that one, Kendra?
Yep.
Again, I could see a big day for Cole Beasley. Does Dez play, yes or no?
I think he plays.
I think he does too.
I thought he played. I think that Dez was chomping at the bit to play last week, and the doctors held him off one more week. I could also see a situation where the doctors were like, you know what, if the bye week's next week, just sit down.
Just sit down.
If we win in this game or we lose this game, it's not that big of a deal. It's Green Bay. Like you don't really expect to win it when you look at that roster at the beginning of the season, anyways. So you sit them down, you let them get two extra weeks of rest. But I think that it wants revenge. So
who are you targeting on Green Bay side of the football? Is it Jordy Nelson at 8,000? Might as well be Jordy Rogers. Jordy Nelson at 8,000 or Randall Cobb at 6,000. He is questionable, but I do think he's going to play.
Cobb because Skandrick is not going to play, so he's going to be facing a rookie, Anthony Brown, who's played well, but he's a rookie sixth round pick.
Yeah.
He's been very impressive, but if I have to pick between a guy who's going against, one of the best defensive backs in the league right now, mm-hmm. It was a top six pick, Morris Claiborne, and then you're talking about...
Oh, Claiborne looks good.
Claiborne's been playing
Claiborne
out of
beast.
His mind good. And it's a lot harder to give help inside. So, I would pick Cobb in that situation.
How about any Davante Adams? He's very cheap over on DraftKings. 3,900, finally had a breakout game, 5 for 8, 85 and a touchdown. Looks like they're getting him involved in the offense.
He's the one that killed the Cowboys in the playoff game in 2014.
That's true.
It wasn't Jordy Nelson.
That's true.
Randall Cobb. It was all – I think he had like 14 catches or something. It was crazy. That was different year, different defense, different team. Man, Brandon Carr's playing pretty well this year. I don't think so. If I'm picking a receiver in this one, it would be Jordy or Randall, and I think I would go Randall Cobb first.
I'm thinking so as well. One word answer, does Dallas win?
I think they win.
I think they do too.
I have been thinking that they wouldn't win all week long, but I woke up this morning and I was just like, I don't know why, but I feel like they're going to win it.
Cowboys are going to win.
I don't know why, I just had a feeling.
I just can't get over the idea that they're going to walk into they're just going to go storm Green Bay. I just can't shake the
you feel
fact
like, you, you
that
feel
it's
like it's one of those
another Bengals game.
I was thinking a Pittsburgh Philly type situation where everybody's like, this is the test, and then Philly just rolled over them. I got that weird vibe. I don't know why, but I've been getting that. And I will say that usually when I have vibes like this, I'm dead wrong, so Dallas probably loses.
Kendra, does Dallas win?
Yeah, they win.
I think so as well. A couple of more games. Atlanta at Seattle, 4-1 Falcons, 3-1 Seahawks. And it looks like the afternoon's going to be where it's at as far as football goes.
Yes, the 12 o'clock game.
Seattle's a six-point favorite. I really like a couple of Seahawks in this game, 45.5 total. Russell Wilson, 6,900. I think he's more than adequate from your quarterback standpoint. Christian Michael, 6,800. I know I don't need to see that face, but when you look at what he's done and what he brings in the offense, however,
I think Kendrick can get more yards behind that offensive line than Christian Michael.
He is the fifth most expensive running back this week. Fifth. No Doug Baldwin for me. I'm kind of going to go away. I do like Jimmy Graham at 4,900. And
they've been working him in a little bit. Man, he's one of my favorite players. He's a weapon. I like that guy.
Yeah, if they use him properly, he could have a really big day. I don't mind Seattle's defense at 3,600 either. I think Atlanta's going to struggle in Seattle in this game, even though, again, we've gone through all their weapons. Devontae Freeman, Tevin Coleman, Julio Jones.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan's having a solid year. I just – something tells me Seattle's going to kind of clamp down on that offense.
No one else has been able to.
That's true.
I don't know. I think Atlanta's offense is like I said it earlier in the week, but they're one of the offenses this year that's going to be able to be productive against the good defense.
You did. You actually said that on
Monday's show. So I'm not saying that Atlanta wins, but I'm saying I think that they'll be productive. It's going to be I think you're going to have one of those games where it's, you know, who wills it more, Matt Ryan or Russell Wilson.
Then Sunday Night Football, and this is this might be in situation where you might just want to go find something else for Sunday night.
Yeah.
2-3 Indianapolis, 3-2 Houston Texans.
Oh,
that's going to be a great game. Oh, how much quality can you fit on one football field, Bryce? I have one person written down on Houston as far as possible targets.
He wrote down Will Fuller.
Nope.
Oh.
Kendra,
did you do D-hops?
Nope.
Griffin?
Nope. We could go all day.
Griffin?
No. We could go all day. It's not happening. C.J. Fedorowicz, 2,500. C.J. Fedorowicz, 2,500 as the head just bowed, just a head nod of disapproval. Four catches on eight targets for 61 yards. That's all the offense Houston had last week.
They were playing Minnesota.
They were. They're playing Indianapolis this week.
Yeah. Will Fuller.
T.Y. Hilton. Will Fuller, really?
Yeah.
No. Fuller hadn't been involved in the offense in
last week when they played Minnesota?
In last week, and what was it? He had a somewhat of a big game the week before that, but he's struggling to find targets. 5,900. You can't get me excited. Seven for nine against Tennessee.
That's a little expensive for him.
How about T.Y.? Let's talk a little bit about
him. He's been a monster.
He looks to be matchup proof, and Houston's not that great in the secondary.
No, they're not. He's been, for a couple of weeks now, two or three weeks now, he's been really, really solid. I've always liked him. I remember picking him up off the scrap heap his rookie year for my dynasty league. And then, you know, by the end of the year, everybody's offering me everything on the roster for him. So,
is it chasing points at all at 7,700?
A little bit of chasing points there, yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah. It is, he's priced up a little bit, but T.Y. Hilton, probably a solid play if you're looking to get involved in the daily fantasy bit. DraftKings, you can win $1 million for only $20. Now, Kendra's got, you got some questions from the audience, correct?
Yep.
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 Where do we find these?
I don't know. I don't know.
They don't exist in nature.
It's a rarity.
Let me
throw a crazy one out at you real quick. What team in the NFL leads the league this year in time in which they were leading? So
I'm going to go with the...
I'm going to give you five guesses, and
five.
I'm going to say there's no way you guess it in those five.
Five, and I'm
not
coming
up
with it. I'm not looking anything up. Five, and there's no way I'm coming up with it.
Yeah.
So it's not Minnesota.
Okay, that's one.
I said it's not Minnesota. Oh, goodness.
Throw some guesses out there, man.
I'm thinking. I'm going through the thought process.
Yeah. The team that has the most time leading.
Patriots.
Patriots is not one.
No.
Damn it.
No.
Get your hand off the mouse.
I'm just scrolling.
Get your hand off the mouse.
Get your filthy hand off that mouse.
Is it Dallas?
It's not Dallas. That was my first guess because they've been leading every game.
I'll tell you mine. The first one I thought of was Pittsburgh. I'm not using that because they lost to Philadelphia and they were down in the majority of that game.
You're looking at scores and stuff over there.
No, I'm not. I'm scrolling to look at teams.
Cheating.
Oh, God.
Cheating ass Daniels.
If it's the Rams, so help me, God.
It's not the Rams. That's three guesses. You got two more. The team that leads the league in time when they have the lead.
Oaktown. Oakland.
Oakland. That's four guesses. That is incorrect.
That's
Daniels,
right.
Daniels, you better throw in your fifth guess before she steals it.
Was something completely wrong.
Buffalo.
It's not Buffalo. That's your fifth guess.
Who is it?
It's the San Diego
Chargers. I was going to say San Diego.
But you first threw it out.
I was like,
it
can't be the Chargers.
One and four San Diego Chargers have the most time that they've been in the lead in the league this year.
Because they like to lose games late. I was going to say San Diego, too.
That was what I thought. Insanity, man.
Fine, I guess that I gave Kendra some time to organize her notes, questions. Yeah. What do you got for us?
Yep. All right.
Yep.
Okay, so if they did a complete 2016 redraft right now, today, where would Prescott go? Elliott, Wentz, where do y'all think?
What do you got? They throw all the players from 2016, put them back in the draft, and they redraft them right now.
That's a tough one. That's a good question, actually. I think Elliott is... He's up there. I don't know where exactly, but he's probably a. But then you look at running backs. Then you look at running backs in the draft, and he doesn't, and they don't go as high as you think they should or they once did. So that's I don't know. What do you think?
I think Wentz and Prescott go 1-2.
1-2.
Yes.
Wow.
Just, I mean, think about it. You know, LA is going to pick a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You're picking between Wentz and Prescott.
Oh,
I don't
true.
Know. I don't know which one you.
I'll tell you this, it's not Goff.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not Goff. It's not going to be Lynch. It's not going to be any of the other ones. They're going to take a quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm.
You would think so. I don't know which one they pick. If you're doing it based on what you've already seen plus potential, I think you go Wentz because he has the biggest potential, with all the skills and stuff that he has. But then. Philly's sitting there. They don't have Sam Bradford.
Mm-mm.
So they got to do something. So if they just threw them all back into the draft today, I think Prescott would go too.
So you think Wentz goes over Prescott?
I think so.
I don't. Mm-mm. I don't. Maybe it's the hype of living in Texas.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not a Cowboys fan. I'm might be slowly becoming a
Prescott
Cowboys
fan?
I am a Prescott fan. I've been a Prescott fan since Mississippi State.
The Dak Knight Rises?
Yeah. The Dak Knight Rises. Nice.
Yeah, I like that. It's nice.
No, I've been a Prescott fan since his work in college. And, again, a lot of people didn't know who this guy was. I think Dak probably goes over Wentz, though. Yeah. But it's close.
From a scouting perspective, Wentz has the higher potential. Because Prescott doesn't have a very good arm. It's above average, but it's mm-hmm. not elite. Wentz has an absolutely elite arm. Wentz is faster. Wentz has a few more skills plus playing in a pro offense in college. I think his ceiling is higher, but there's also concern there because of his the way he doesn't protect himself very well. I think he's an injury waiting to happen. I think he's a little got a little RG3 in him in that regard.
Oof, that's never a good note to have.
Right. But either way, I would to answer the question, and I don't know who asked the question, but I would say Wentz and Prescott go 1-2. As far as where Elliott goes, I think given what we know now, he probably goes to Fort Dallas again, right?
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I mean but the question would be who would San Diego take at 3? And I mean, Bosa had a big game. He had 2 sacks.
Yeah, but San Diego doesn't need... they're not going to go after Elliott. It's not going to happen.
No, they're not going to go after Elliott. That's what I'm saying. So who do they take at three? If it's Wentz and then Prescott, who does San Diego take at three if they have the entire 2016 draft at their fingertips?
It probably goes the same way.
You think so? So it goes Bosa and then Elliott?
Yeah.
You think the Jaguars take Jalen Ramsey at five?
I mean, who
is
who,
that? Is that where it starts to fall apart?
Maybe, but not even there. Hmm. It might take a little bit to fall apart.
I don't know. I think that there's some players that have been really impressive this year that might just sneak in there. There's a pass rusher. I can't think of which one it is. It's already had several sacks as a rookie. God, I can't think of who it is. DeForest Buckner's played pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's a really good question, actually.
That is. That's an
interesting question.
That's a thinker.
Yeah, it is a thinker.
You got anything else for us, Kendra?
That's it.
All right.
That's it. It's the only question.
Yeah.
If you guys want to ask questions and have us answer them, we're not experts by any stretch, but we'll do our best to answer them. You can find us on the Facebook page. It's the 2-point conversion. It's with the number 2. And leave your questions there, and we'll have Kendra read them on air on next Thursday's show.
There you go. And just about to put a wrap on the episode 9 of the 2-point conversion with Bryce and Daniels, Kendra Watts as well. And you can find us on footballogy.com. It's a study of all things football.
That's right.
Can't believe we haven't mentioned those guys yet so far. Footballogy.com, FOTBOLOGY.com. It's a study of all things football. Great articles, great content on there. And you can find us on iTunes and Google Play as well.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Definitely follow the Facebook page. Find us on Twitter. All of that. We're all over social media. So definitely just click like, follow, subscribe, share all the keywords. Yeah.
Whatever. All of it.
Whatever you want to do. All right, let's get to it. So if you've been following along the last couple of weeks, I think I'm 2-0 now on my 3-team parlays. So that's slowly becoming a thing, and I'm making you money. That's what we're doing on this show. And if I had to give you 3 of my plays of the week this week, it's kind of it's kind of barren. if you had to ask. All right, I'll tell you what. I'm going to go over on 53. That's a lot of points scored, but it's in New Orleans, and neither of those teams knows how to play defense. 53 points scored in Carolina and New Orleans. New York.
No, I don't want to do that.
Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh minus 7.5 over Miami on the road. And
then just pick whoever's playing Cleveland. You're good.
7.5. I'm not. There's no way I'm giving 7.5 with Tennessee. Okay. And Philadelphia, 2.5. So Philadelphia, 2.5. Pittsburgh, 7.5. And over 53 in Carolina and New Orleans. And if you're looking for a dog, look no further than Dallas Cowboys, +3.5. I really like Dallas this week, folks. I can't put them as my play of the week, but I can definitely put them as my dog of the week. So we're making you money with that 3-team parlay, and we are back on Tuesday. We'll record Monday. It is the 2-Point Conversion Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. Footballogy.com is where we are. It's the study of all things football. I'm trying to get as many plugs in.
Yeah, you got to do that. You got to do
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. iTunes, Google Play.
Bow down to our corporate overlords.
Until then, folks, I hope all of you have a great weekend. Watch plenty of football, and good luck in your daily fantasy tournaments, of course, unless you're playing me.